Hello.
I'm trying to speak with Mr. Joseph John Poro.
Yes, speaking.
Joseph, how are you doing today? This is Mike with Hoffman Mazer. You just visited our website about 30 minutes ago, and you left an inquiry. And I think you're looking to outsource your mobile application development.
Which website are you from?
Well, Hoffman Mazer. Hoff and Mazer.
Wilhoffman.
Yep.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And
I
you know,
yeah, what's up?
I
I'm looking to get an app created. And I think I found some type of similar app I can use. It's already like turnkey. But why don't you tell me a little bit about how you guys work?
All right, so we basically we build custom applications, right? So if you need something that's live white label to your business and something that's scalable and foundational in nature, whereby you can add more services in the future, you can have a client portal, you can manage the application yourself using an admin panel. That's the kind of applications we build, right? And I think you mentioned something that you like an application that can locate certain letters and words on a fixed object. Take that dictation and transport it to a landing page that is going to look like an Excel sheet. So I reckon you're looking for something that's simple and probably something that you're going to be using optical vision. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I want to have a and I've been playing around with, like these like the PDF readers and stuff, that can it can do that. It can transfer it into Excel, which is like exactly what I'm needing.
That's right.
But I'll tell you, well, first off the bat, when you say white label, we're trying to use this and sell this product ourselves. So if we're associating your name or if your name, your company name is anywhere on what we're selling, we're putting a significant markup on something. Why would we do that if, the customer can just come straight to you and buy the product then and there?
Oh
You
no,
know,
that's
that's
exactly the
that.
opposite of what we do. So when I say white labeled, it's going to be white labeled your business, right? Or for your client. So if you plan to sell this application forward, let's say you're building an application that's going to be working on the SaaS model, software as a service, we strictly work for hire in any case, whether you are the user of the application, whether it's for your client, or whether you want to sell this application on a monthly or a fixed fee or whatever to your customer. We strictly work for hire.
Okay. Well, cool. So, well, I'll tell you a little bit about, what I'm looking to do is, as you saw in that brief description, I'm looking to take some type of dictation recognition system that can be synced up with drone technology. Right, I want to be able to use cameras off of drones. And either use some type of SD card or some type of plug-and-play system. You know what I mean? Something where, let's say, there's an SD card in a drone. The drone flies by and snaps a picture of something. I want that image, right, to be able to. I want the software to be able to extract that dictation from the image, and then, store that into a landing page, something like Excel.
Okay.
So essentially, what we're doing here is I'm trying to get information off of rail cars, railroad cars, right? So if you can imagine a like a railroad freight tank car, it's got some letters written numbers just like plastered on the side of it, right? I want the drone to fly by, scan it, and take a picture, so capture that image, and then I need it extracted, right? That dictation, I need it extracted from that captured image, and I need it to land somewhere via, take the SD card out and plug it into a computer, and it populates a list of all the extracted dictation. All right, that's in a nutshell what I'm looking for.
Right, so this is going to work similar to, if I understand this correctly, it's going to work similar to how you pay taxes on the highway, right? You pay the toll on the highway. So the picture of your car is taken, and that collects the number of the car, right? The the card number plate, and that information is passed along to the relevant authority that is going to bill you for the toll tax on the highway. So similar to that, what I think what you're looking for is, let's say on a railroad, when your drone flies over, it's going to take it's going to detect first of all a number on the rail cars, and when they detect the number, they're going to automatically take a picture, and that picture is going to have the number on it. So it's going to read the picture off, the number off of it, and then it's going to store it on an Excel sheet, like you mentioned. Now, this Excel sheet that we're talking about, is that going to be displayed commercially, or is it just going to be a storage area whereby the numbers are going to be saved for a few different people from your organization to look at?
It's going to be something that's going to be stored temporarily and then deleted. It doesn't need to stay. It doesn't need to remain in any type of cloud software. And we want to be able to do that because it's scalable in terms of profit, because we can sell it as an individual service to each rail site, as opposed to one rail company buying it and then utilizing it and storing. And the reason for that is also twofold. You know, trains come in and out of rail yards, 1,000 times a day. They don't need to store the previous order of the previous train, right? Because that train gets disassembled, reorganized, and then shipped out, and according to it, whatever its commodity is, right? So it doesn't need to be stored for an excessive amount of time. All we need to do is extract that dictation and find a landing spot on Excel. Once it's on Excel, they can print that list out, and then they give it to the guys in the rail yard, and they go, oh, well, here's a list of, the 50 cars that just, the 50 railroad cars that just came in this order. Let's go switch them out or whatever. And then, the yard master, whoever's in charge of the rail yard, can clear out that system, and then they can send the next drone out. They send it out again and go take pictures of the next train that's about to land. So it doesn't need to be stored in any type of cloud software for, subscription-based type of stuff. It literally just needs to be software that could be, uploaded and downloaded from a drone.
Right. I think that this part of the application, and this makes perfect sense, by the way. So this part of the application could be dealt with either a simple cron job that's going to run every hour, every few hours, every day, or every 7 days, whatever, interval you'd like to keep, and it's going to refresh the data that's collected over time, right? So if it's done in 7 days, then, it's going to keep it for 7 days in the Excel sheet, for example. And then it's automatically, the cron job is going to delete everything that has been stored over time in the 7 days after this interval elapses. Or, the rail site clicks on the print button, for example, which means that they've printed out the document successfully, it's automatically going to delete that, the rail numbers, the previously collected rail numbers from the.
Yeah, it can do any of those things, right? And my idea is that once they have that information, let's say it's picked up the numbers and the letters that it needs to off of that rail car, and it gets downloaded into like an Excel sheet or whatever, it can store it, or at least whatever you know what I mean? Like, it can even be stored as a PDF or an Excel sheet that they can export to a PDF, and they can keep that for their own personal records. And then, the software itself gets wiped clean after X amount of, hours or something. Or once it's exported, it can get deleted, right? We can figure that out. But I just need the three basic rules. I need capture, extraction, and a landing page for this application.
Okay, so let me try and make sure I have everything to be able to get down to the numbers for you. So extraction, I think, is simple. When you say capture, is it going to be manual or is it going to be automatic? Just like how I explained it, where it detects the number and then it takes a picture automatically, or is the rail site person going to be supervising the software, and when the drone passes over a rail site, are they going to be manually clicking the pictures, or is that the software?
So ideally we want it automated, right? We want to be able to zip the drone down the track and take pictures, you know, at a reasonable speed and a reasonable pace with great imagery and accuracy. But, you know, if it needs to be manual, then, you know, anyone could fly a DJI Mavic and then just snap the picture button on it, right? That works too. But the idea is to make this as seamless and automated as possible. So ideally, I would like to start with the idea of it runs down the track and it knows what to look for. It takes its own picture, stores it in an SD card. When it lands, they pull the SD card, plug it into something, and then it auto extracts that information into an Excel form or something.
Well, in that case, Joseph, I think with what you're saying, I think the most important thing is going to be integration with the drone hardware itself, right? Because if this was not supposed to be automated, then the integration would have to be minimal, whereby the drone takes the picture, you know, manually, where someone is supervising it, and as soon as they see the number, they take a picture, and that picture is sent to the software, and that connection would not have been a big budge, right? But the problem here is that when you talk about the drone hardware, I reckon that every rail site is going to be using their own drone hardware. Could be any model, could be any make, could be any company. Is that correct, or do you supply the drones as well?
We'll supply the drones.
Okay.
So we can narrow it down.
All right, okay. Okay, that makes perfect sense. I think it's perfectly doable. Now, I think you said something like you wanted to... in fact, you did look at some softwares that could do it for you. A PDF reader is something that you were looking at, right?
Yeah. So the PDF reader, I mean, it's most basic, simple form, right? And I'll tell you, the app that I literally just downloaded it to my mobile phone. I took, you know, I wrote down different types of car numbers, and I took tape and I put it around the room. And I buzzed my phone across the room, and it accurately took all the pictures, and it was able to convert it into PDFs. But the problem is that it puts each image into a sheet. It doesn't actually extract it into Excel form. It just takes its image, puts it into Excel program, and each one is its own sheet. You know, and I don't need that. I need it actually, you know, like in an Excel sheet where each cell gets populated. You know what I mean? Not each different sheet with an image uploaded on that sheet. So that app that I have been using was called PDF Element or something, like widget maybe or something. I don't remember what the hell it was called. But that's pretty much what I had literally just done. And, you know, I like the premise of it. It's just there seemed to be some kind of errors with it. So Let's talk about, you know, what this looks like. Have you guys done anything like this before? Because when you said, you know, utilizing the toll booth imagery, I mean, that's kind of hitting the nail on the head. That's very similar with what we're doing here. It's just we're using rail cars instead of motor vehicles.
We've not done the, you know, the highway example that I gave you. That was just, you know, just to help us understand and be on the same page. But otherwise, we've done similar applications that utilize optical vision, is what we call it, the architectural framework that goes into doing something like this. I think this the capture part of the three-step process you're talking about is going to be something that has to be customized. So you clearly are looking for a custom solution, which I don't think is going to be available with any of the softwares that are already available out there. And then white labeling it for your rail site clients, that is going to be another aspect that you'd have to figure. So how do you plan to sell the software forward? I mean, is that going to be like a SaaS that's going to be managed by the application itself, like let's say a $200 subscription per month? Or is it going to be, because if it has to be a subscription per month, then the application should be able to manage that as well without the interference or without moderation of the automation.
No, it's not subscription-based. It's a one-time purchase. and what it's going to be sold as a package. It's going to be sold as the product. It's kind of like when you buy, let's say you buy, let's imagine it's like 2004, right? You go and you buy the old Age of Empires video game for your computer, right? It's specific to that key number that you plug in. You buy the game and you plug it into your computer and no one else can use it. So what we're trying to do is we want to sell a drone with the software that has like maybe a user key or something, and we sell that. So let's say a customer has 7 sites, then that customer's got to buy it 7 times, right, for one for each site. So we don't need anything that's going to store, you know, a cloud-based type of thing or a subscription-based billing cycle. We're going to sell it, right? We're just going to mark the shit up out of it and sell it because it's brand new to the industry and everyone's going to want it. So that's the bold, you know, strategy that we're taking with this. It doesn't need to be any type of subscription-based stuff necessarily. We're trying to sell, you know, trying to sell it as a package.
As a package, okay. Right. And one last question. So the application, does that have to be available for both Android and the iOS? Like, is it going to be available on both the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store? Or
it would be ideal.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a second option as well, and a lot of people have not heard about it when I tell them about this. But you could have a PWA as well that is going to be a progressive web application. That is going to help you cut down the cost in the sense that the only difference is it does not go live on the app store. So you have, let's say you have a client come in and you sell the software to them, you can send them a link to download the application on the phone. So you don't have to have it on the app stores because essentially you're not looking to gain new clients from the application. Right. And so it does not have to be.
How does that correlate with privacy policies and privacy statements, you know, aside from like, let's say, iOS or Apple or something, you know, where is their information storage going to and how is it stored? You know what I mean? So that would be a question, too.
Right. Apple and Android, they are marketplaces in their most primitive senses. Right. So. They just offer you a huge collection of applications, but that does not mean that you could just download the application from these places. You can download the application natively as well using a link. That is, you know, essentially the app is going to be stored on a cloud server, and, you know, every time someone plugs that link, you know, they're going to be pulling that application to their phone from the cloud server without having to go to the app stores, the Google or the Apple App Store, or having to comply with their stringent, you know, criteria and their policies. So going live,
which essentially sounds like, you know, they can't share passwords then if we do it that way, which would be great, right? Like if they each got their own link to something, because it's BWA or whatever, they couldn't, you know, log in as, you know what I mean? Like they couldn't share usernames and user passwords to this.
Right. Yes. It could be managed with the application going live on the app stores as well, just exactly with the key method like you mentioned. So what you have to do as an admin is, you know, every time you onboard someone, regardless of whether it's an app live on the app stores or it's a native PWA, you have to plug in, you have to generate a unique key number every time you onboard someone, right? And how it's going to look on the back end on your admin panel is that let's say you have an admin panel that you log into just to validate yourself as the admin with the authorized role. And the next thing you do is you go to the onboarding section, you enter the email, you click on generate a new key, right? You just make a one click to generate a new key. And that key is, along with the welcome email, the onboarding email, is going to be sent to the email address that you have entered from the back end for this new client.
And it would only be usable one time.
One time, yeah. Once they plug in, just like it works with Adobe software or any other package softwares that we use, right? It's going to be one time. The key, when you use it, it's going to expire, and you cannot use it again.
Okay, so I'm loving what I'm hearing so far. So let's talk a little bit more on, you know, let's kind of dive into the weeds a little bit here. I understand that, you know, let's say we use a DJI Mavic and they've got their own proprietary system. I'm not looking to have some type of, you know, hardware soldered into this drone, right? The drone has a camera, or it even has the ability to affix a you know, maybe a mobile device to it or something, depending on what type of drone we have. Ideally, you know, now I'm not a drone user, but I believe that regular drones have an SD card, right, that you can take pictures with, pull the SD card out, plug it into your computer, and it takes, you know, it downloads the pictures. Is that correct?
The Mavic Pro has this feature, yes. So, I mean, if that's what you guys are using,
okay. So I guess the real question is how we need a software, or we need some type of medium that can, you know, extract those images, right, extract those images and then put those into an Excel form, you know, all within the order of which those pictures were taken. That's one aspect of this. The other aspect is if we want to automate this and not have the user manually snap the picture that each, you know, that the drone flies over each car, that seems like that would be an issue of, you know, hardware maybe that's integrated into the drone, which I know Mavic says they don't have anything like that yet. And you know, you're talking about voiding warranties if you start doing that stuff. So how can we get around that by integrating an automated imagery, you know, and have the drone focus on certain things?
Right, that's something we'd have to, because, you know, with Mavic or with any other, you know, third-party drones, you wouldn't have the kind of functionality you're looking for, right? So we'd have to look for something that, you know, we'd have to suffice within the software that we're building right now. That said, I'm actually trying to think out loud on how this probably could work, because you have to make some kind of connection between, and then you said that, you know, every time the drone flies over and it completes its route, it's going to be parked, the SD card is going to be taken off, and the pictures are going to be uploaded to the application. Is that correct?
Right.
I think the only thing that's going to be a bit of a challenge here, especially with a third-party drone, is that you know, the automated imagery that is going to be collected, you know, spotting the number, like, you know, finding a number on a rail card and then be able to pick that number and then be able to click the picture at that very moment, that is going to be a problem, because the drone is not going to be, you know, we cannot connect to the drone. The drone software, the software that's installed within the drone, that is not customizable. And I don't think any drone company would allow you to do that, because they're not open source. That said, I think the drone has to be...
I mean, even if we had to manually, you know what I mean? Like, it's still revolutionary to the industry. So even if we have a drone pilot who's out there, right? Let's say he gets his license or whatever, that's part of the packet, right? And he goes out there and he just stands there and he flies the drone, you know, down the track, and he's snapping images of the car. Or even let's say he hovers the drone outside of the rail yard, and as the train starts to drag in, he's snapping pictures continuously, right? And then he flies, once the train lands in the yard, he flies the drone back to the office and then extracts that imagery. You know, so let's go at a more primitive level here and say, okay, we'll snap a picture of the car that goes by, because I'm sure the drones are used to, you know, high resolution imagery while moving, so it can probably pick up, you know, what we need to see. And if the guy is, you know, looking at his cell phone or controller or whatever, that's, you know, getting the live feedback from the drone, I'm sure he can, you know, see when to snap the picture. So let's talk about this in its most basic form, most primitive form of manual image capturing, you know, and let's talk about how to extract that and put it into Excel. You know what I mean? But like, let's start with that, because we can use a drone. We could fly it outside the rail yard, snap pictures from the drone's controls, and then extract, you know, we can pull that SD card out, plug it into a computer, and then we've just got a shit ton of pictures. What type of program can we develop, or what type of software can we use that will extract all the information on that rail car, you know, that we need? Because there's a bunch of writing on the rail car. So how can we get, you know, specific with the dictation or the numbers that need to be pulled off of that rail car?
Okay, so the rail car number that you're talking about, that has to be a certain alphabet or a certain number, right? I don't know if it's a 9-digit number or it's an alphanumerical. What does it essentially look like? Is it like A, B, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or is it a certain...
Yeah, so like on the top of a rail car or something, like if you just went to Google right now or something and you type in tank car, rail tank car, you'll see on the side it might say something in 9-inch letters, GATX, and then underneath it might say like 910431. It's like a license plate for a rail car. But then underneath that, in like 3-inch letters, it says like the load limit, the load weight, you know, what type of tank car it is, et cetera. But it mainly has in big 9-inch letters, you know, the license plate of that rail car. So we want to be able to capture, you know, the big main bold letters on the sides of the rail car. That we're interested in capturing, you know, something like that.
And not the rest of the information, including the load weight. And
correct.
Everything. Okay.
Correct.
So I'm looking at this picture on Google right now, and just to make sure I'm looking at the right thing, this one has something that has bold letters saying TILX 290344, and then there's some smaller writing. So that's the number, right?
Yep. So we're looking at the TILX and then the 4 or 6-digit number underneath. We're not looking at those small numbers. We only wanted to take the image of those larger ones.
Right, perfect. So there you go. So, you know, when you build optical vision software, you have to tell it, you have to help it identify what it needs to pick, right? So the 10-digit alphanumerical is what we're looking for our optical software to pick up from the rail picture that's collected. And I think that's going to be simple. That's not a problem. So you just have to, you know, via an algorithm, we'd plug it in that, you know, the software is going to just pick this 10-digit number wherever it finds it on the card or on the picture, and only that is going to be extracted into the sheet, and the rest of the information is not going to be collected.
Right. So you think that's doable then?
That is perfectly doable, yep.
Okay, so if we have the optical, you know, the vision recognition, if we have that, let's kind of move into the next step theoretically. What does that look like in terms of finding a landing spot for that when we're ready to extract that information from the image? What are we looking at in terms of like integration with some type of like Excel or landing spot or PDF? You know what I mean? Like, what does that look like?
Right, even that could be, you know, even that simple, I'd be honest with you. So, you know, when we build the software that's going to have the optical vision and it collects this number, this software is going to be connected to a CSV file, right? It's similar to an Excel sheet. Now, if you tell me you want to do it on Google Sheets, that is the online version of the Excel, even that could be done. However, anyway, so the software is going to collect these numbers from different images. Let's say you bulk upload, let's say, 100 images together on the software. What the software is essentially going to do, or where the software comes in, is that it's going to process each of these images to find this number on all the 100 pictures, and these numbers are going to be picked up automatically from there, and they're going to be collected into a destination a Google Sheet or CSV file that we will connect to it. So when you talk about white labeling it, I'd have to see with my team whether how that's going to work, because, you know, I reckon for every client, it's going to be a separate sheet that they're going to be maintaining, right? So they're going to have, like, their own sheet that collects just their own numbers.
There are owners of the cars, right? But typically, like, let's say, you know, a TILX 101 car rolls in and it offloads corn syrup. and then that car needs to leave and go down the line. It gets picked up by another railroad, and then it gets reloaded with maple syrup, but it's still TILX or whatever, right? But as it leaves, you know, they input the information. Okay, well, TILX now has maple syrup from corn syrup. So it's not like these are the same cars that are going to be repeatedly revisiting the exact same rail yard. They're just going to keep going. All we need is information. All we need is for the drone to take the picture of the trains, of the cars that are landing in the yard at that time, and then extracting, because there's a sheet, right? There's a document that gets sent from the departing train station to the arriving train station, and it says, look, this is what we're sending you guys. This is the order that the train left in. But sometimes things go wrong. That train's got to get switched around en route. Some cars are bad. They get kicked out or dropped off at the wrong location. And so when the train does arrive, it's not necessarily in the exact order. However, the cars that are there are loaded with the commodity that was already, you know, sent from the departing terminal to arriving terminal. So all we're really needing to do is identify what cars have landed, right? So we don't really need to keep track of where that car goes after it leaves, after it departs the yard. We only need to extract information off that car when it arrives. Does that make sense?
Right. That's simple. I think it's just reconciling the, you know, the cars that leave the departing location with the cars that arrive at the destination. So that's I think that's a simple purpose, and you know, as long as we can collect these numbers and we can put them in an Excel sheet, I think that's just going to do the job. And we were talking about the Excel sheet. I've already figured, and I understand how that's going to work. So I think in entirety, I think it's perfectly doable.
Sweet. You're the first person that said that. And I've been working on this for months.
Okay. You probably have spoken to other app development companies then.
Yeah, well, I got pretty far with Altea and Chetu, but it just wasn't working. We couldn't make things happen the way that, you know, we couldn't just, I don't know if I wasn't describing it right or what, but we couldn't make it happen. So, all right, so let's say, you know, we've got a working idea. The only real thing that I don't like is that it has to be manually, the image has to be manually taken, but, you know, that's not anything that seems like we can get around with. That seems like that's hardware that's built into the drone, so we can't really get around that. But having the ability to take that picture manually as the train rolls into the yard, and then, you know, upload that or download that into a CSV file is, you know, that's a huge step forward in this direction. So if we're looking at something like that, let's dip our toes in the water when it comes to pricing. What are we looking at getting it from you guys and you know, timeline on this for a proof of concept? What is all this looking like?
Okay, so before I get to the numbers, let me just summarize and, you know, kind of paint a canvas in our heads together on how the program is going to work, right? So there's two kinds of interfaces, one for your rail-side clients and one for yourself that you use to manage the users and the keys on the application and all the, you know, the static content and everything that's going to be on the application, including the users, right? So on your side of the application, the admin side, the first thing is going to be generating unique keys every time you onboard a client, and then sending them an email, you know, using their email address, and then sending them an automatic preformatted email for them to be able to download the application and be able to plug in that key and be able to get to the software, right? Now, the second thing is going to be the content management system part of this admin site, whereby you can manage the content that's going to be available on the software. Let's say you want to change out the logo. Once again, talking about the white labeling for your clients, if you want to put their logo on there, or you want to, you know, change the privacy policy or the terms and conditions, the standards of the application, that all you could do yourself using this minimal admin panel that is going to be built on the web interface, right? So that's for yourselves, your team, and you. And then comes the major side, the flip side of the software that is going to be for your Rails side clients.
Mm-hmm.
That software is going to have, of course, a login and a sign up for them. So every time, just to make sure, just the authorized people at the Rails side can log in every time they want to, you know, process these jobs. And they enter their username, they enter their password. The next screen they see is where they can upload, you know, bulk pictures. They can pick up, let's say, 100 pictures from their, you know, from their mobile phone. They can select 100 pictures, and they can, with one tap, they can upload them to the software, and the software starts processing them automatically, right? Next
yep.
thing the software is going to do is that it's going to show you a preview of all the numbers that it has collected from the pictures, all the rail card numbers that it has collected in a preview that is going to look very similar to an Excel sheet or a CSV file. Right?
Correct.
Now, from there, they'll have like three options. Either they could print it, or they could download it, or they could even send this to someone else within the organization. So let's say if it's someone on the field that has collected this information and generated this sheet, and they want to send it to the printing department, the department that takes care of printing the sheets, they could even send this sheet as it is in the final format to the next person who's going to be doing their part of the job. So these options,
right.
three options, print, download, and send. And I think that is where the application is going to be concluded, unless there's anything that I'm missing on.
You were cutting out on that last part before you said you were missing out on anything. What did you say? The
right.
print, download, and making it shareable was what?
Right, so there's going to be three actions, three different kinds of actions that the end user can take with the sheet that's generated with all these different sorts of numbers, right? It's
mm-hmm.
going to be print, download it on your phone or your computer, wherever you're using the software, and then the third
yeah.
is going to be sending it to the next person in line who may, you know, if the person on the field does not do the printing of the sheets, like you mentioned, they don't generate the hard copy of it, they want to send it to someone else in their department, they could do that, you know, using, you know, they could share the sheet with the other person using WhatsApp or whatever they want to do it. They could send the sheet forward as well, right? So these three different kinds of actions they could take using that final sheet that's generated with all the different numbers of the rail cards. And I think that's where the operation of the application is going to be truncated, or it's going to complete one full cycle. Unless there's anything that I'm missing on.
No, I mean that's it. You know, for the owner side, we need the unique keys, the link to download, content management, and account management of the number of customers. And then on the customer side, we need them to have the login to sign up. We need software creation in the previews, and then we need it to be able to print, download, share, and then ultimately clear it out when they're done with it.
Right, the cron job as well, that's going to clear the data. Okay. So I think the only last piece of the missing, you know, missing in the puzzle right now, Joseph, is going to be whether you need a BWA or you need it to go live on the app stores.
I like the BWA route, I think, because of the link and sending, it seems a little bit more proprietary, but it you know what I mean? Like it seems more like, hey, you guys got to come to us for this rather than go to the app store.
Right.
Which, you know, that's something.
I would ask schools anyway, so I think we could keep this to a PWA. Sorry.
And I'm sorry. What is it? What is the file? BWA or VWA?
It's a PWA, as in a progressive web application.
Oh.
If you look it up right now.
PWA.
Yeah, it's a.
Oh, I got you. PWA. Okay. So we've identified, you know, the customer's needs, the owner's needs, the platform we'll do it on with PWA. Now what's next? Let's talk about proof of concept stuff and everything that goes with that. Timeline, costs, integration, stuff like that. Let's go down that route. What are we looking at there?
Okay, well, I think in terms of the timeline for both the admin and the customer side, we're looking at somewhere about we'd be looking at somewhere about 3 months in total to get this from one point A to point Z to from start to the finish line, and that includes custom design, of course. Now let me first explain the process to you as well, because you know what we're doing right now is the pre-onboarding discovery, right? Portion of the process, all I need to make sure is that I have all the information required to give you an exact cost and to be able to give you an exact timeline. Because how we work is we work on a fixed price model and we strictly work for hire. So whatever cost I give you right now, that is going to take you to the finish line without any kind of changes, unless, of course, you make any kind of enhancements or you require any kind of changes to the scope of the project while we are midway through the, you know, the execution of the development, right? So once we after we give you a cost and we give you a timeline, that's where we begin a post-onboarding discovery, whereby you know we take the team, the stakeholders from our side on board on the idea and the concept and everything, and they suggest the final tech stack or the framework they're going to be using to build everything on the application. Now from there, when we get to the actual development of it, the first thing we do is the UI and the UX design, whereby we'd be custom designing from scratch each of the screens of the application, both on the admin side and the customer side. And once you approve that with your feedback and everything, once you give us the feedback, we implement that, you give us a final thumbs up, we go towards the next step that is going to be the alpha development, whereby we start the development of the structure and the shell of the application, which is also called a non-functional development. And then comes the functional development, whereby in layman terms, we create and connect a nucleus, the brain of the application, to the software itself, and then we go towards the testing procedures, whereby we carry out the IAT, the UAT, the regressive testing and whatnot, and then we once we have your final sign-off, we get the application live. All that together is going to be 90 days in total that we're looking at, somewhere about 3 months. And in terms of the price, and while I'm speaking to you, I'm doing some numbers as well. Give me 1 second. Let me try and crunch the numbers for you so I can give you at least a good ballpark on what we're looking at. Right, so we're looking at somewhere about a total of 500 hours, including the designers, the developers, the the SQA, the backend person, the optical vision team, the project management, the buffer wiki for that. We're looking at somewhere about 550 hours that are going to go into the project, and if we build that with our standard going rate is $50 an hour, but I'll just try and do it with $40.
That's $27,000.
I'll try and do it with $40 an hour, right? And this is going to come down to $22,000, a one-time fee for the complete software that we're talking about.
Okay. And you guys take, I would assume there would be a half up front, half upon completion.
That's exactly what I'm coming to. So we charge you per milestone, right? So the first milestone is when you kick off the project, you pay a 50%. We get you on board. We get the wheels going. We have the team assigned to you. And that is going to suffice until the designs of the app are approved with your revisions and feedback and everything. There, you pay a 25%. And then once we get to the beta phase of development, the functional phase of development, that's when you pay the balance 25%. And that completes the 100% payment fee. So it's going to be three installments.
Three installments of the $22,000 to
$23,000? Right, three installments of the $22,000 that I quoted to you. So it's $11,000,
okay.
$5,000, $5,500 at the second phase, and a third installment of $5,500 when we get to the functional development.
Okay. Now let's talk about finalizing this in terms of the white labeling. What does that process look like when it comes to the legal side of this? What are we going to get, in terms of the white labeling deliverables? What all do we go through to ensure that it doesn't go out? I mean, I'm sure there's, like, obviously non-disclosures that come through here. I'm sure there's, you know, master service agreements and all that stuff. What is that kind of, can you preview that? What comes with that, and at what stage does this stuff get discussed?
Well, so between you and us, to make sure that it doesn't go out from our end and we don't, replicate the software, or we don't use any kind of locomotives from this application to any of the software, that is going to be covered under the engagement agreement that I'll send to you, the contract that I'll send to you before signing you over. So that of course has the mutual non-disclosure agreement as well. That has a portion for the intellectual property right as well. That is going to clearly state that the 100% intellectual property as an application belongs to you, and any method, any ingredient, any code, even the source code that goes into the application is going to all belong to you, and we strictly work for hire. Now, this term work for hire, it's a legal jargon law, and that essentially says that we work on a commission basis whereby you commission the application, and you are the 100% owner of the application as well, right? However, when the application goes live, and you know, just to make sure the application does not get copied by one of your competitors, I think in that to cover that end of the intellectual property, I would rather recommend you you take a utility patent, or at least a provisional patent with the USPTO, the United States Patent and Trademark Office. And that is going to give you a good enough coverage just to make sure the application cannot be, or its source code cannot be copied by anyone else. Except that any kind of security or anything like that is going to be on us. So that's not going to be something that you have to worry about.
Okay, yeah, and I mean, the utility patents, that's not hard to come by, but I think we would need to have at least some type of prototype, developed to get the utility patent on it rather than just the idea. Okay, cool, man. Well, hey, can you send me an email? Have you already done that?
Well, no, I have not sent you an email as yet. I think I do have something on file. It's j.poro, your last name, at ExomeRailServices.com. That's the one, right?
That's it, man. Yep.
Perfect. So, Joseph, what I'll do from here is that I'll send you an email outlining the discussion we've had today, including the scope of the project, the timeline and the price that I quoted to you. And along with that, I'll send you an NDA if you'd like to sign that, just to make sure all the discussions we have from here are all covered under the NDA as well. I'll send you that over as well. And I'll send you over company profiles just so you could look at some of the, the companies we work with, the portfolio we have, the kind of tech stack we use and everything. All that's going to come bundled together in an email that I'll send out to you before the end of the day today, right?
Awesome, dude. Thank you so much. I'm stoked about this. I think we're, this is something that we can kick ass and take names with, even at the most basic function. And if we're able to, find some way to automate the pictures down the road, even if it's not with drones or even if it's with something else, with some type of stationary reader or something, I'd love to get to work with you guys again if this is something that we can find, some alternatives to down the road. I'd love to do that. But thank you for sitting with me and combing through this, dude. I appreciate it.
I'm glad we got on the same page quickly. And, about the connection with the drone, that I think is something we're missing here, we will definitely work. We'll try and figure that together. I'll have my team on board as well. So as soon as we have you on board, we'll get to that next step as well, and we'll try and figure on what we can do about, connecting the hardware with the software to make sure we can automate that as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll get you guys the specific drone model that we plan on rolling out to, and maybe we can get a little bit more creative once we narrow it down as well.
Oh, yes, please, definitely. I'm just curious, by the way, Joseph, I give you a pricing. How does that compare with the pricing that you got from Chatu and the other companies?
It's a little bit higher than Chatu, and then the other company, I forget, Altea. They were a French company, and I forget what they quoted, but I wasn't interested in speaking with them once they said that we had to pay subscription based to keep using this our idea. I don't remember what their pricing was. It was about a month and a half ago. But the process alone on explaining this to Chetu wasn't was a pain in the ass. We had like five different meetings on this just to try and get the idea across. But as far as pricing, I want to say they're around like the 18, 19 mark. I'd have to look through my emails and see what that guy said, but I want to say that's where they were. But maybe I didn't explain it in depth enough or something. I don't know. I feel like we missed quite a bit on the discussion with those guys.
I see. All right. Well, thank you for that, Joseph. I appreciate that, and I appreciate your time today as well. I'll send you an email that is going to help us wrap our heads better around what we do, how we do it. So please keep an eye out for the email that is going to come to you before the end of the day today. And then how soon do you think we should recircle on this, just to make sure I don't disturb you during the week?
No, I mean, definitely. I've got quite a bit going on tomorrow, but let's do Eastern Standard, so anytime on Thursday, let's get back with that. So as soon as I get this information from you, I'm going to send it over to our general counsel. We'll look it over. I'll send it over to business development. We'll have a discussion on this, and you know, we'll hopefully make a decision on it soon. Just give me till Thursday, man, because I want to get this thing kicked off. You know, we had gotten pretty far in discussions, like I said, with Althea and with Chetu, and you know, there was some kind of buzz around the industry when we started passing this idea around to some of our customers. They were so excited to have something like this because it's brand new to the industry and it's going to replace the outdated AEI tag readers at some point utilizing drone technology, and we want to be the spear at this. So, you know, there's definitely a want and a need in the industry. So the faster we can move on it, the better. But I would say let's follow up. If I don't respond to you sometime, you know, this evening or tomorrow, then give me a follow-up call sometime Thursday.
All right, perfect. That sounds like a plan. So I think we'll shoot from here for Thursday now. And, you know, like I said, just keep an eye out for the email, and we'll take it from there.
Awesome. All right, thanks, brother. Hey, it was great talking with you, man. I'll talk with you soon.
Same here. I'll let you go for now. You have a good day. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Thank you. Bye now.